Podcast episode 8. We are recording on Tuesday, 15th of June. Welcome by my co-host Shahan. How are you going?
Yeah, very well, Shanika. How are
very
you?
Well.
Oh, well, I'm okay considering it was another 50 point loss.
It's 49?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's one under.
They're getting better.
And West Coast is still bottom, so that's a silver lining there.
Yeah. And now we have a new ladder leader. On the other end of the ladder.
Yeah, so Brisbane top and Melbourne and Freo on the same amount of points. But I think Freo has probably been the best team so far, right?
Yeah, they beat Brisbane. So
Melbourne.
So if Carlton win big enough, they could go on top as well.
Yeah.
They catch up 20%.
So I guess while we're on Melbourne, so probably a week and a half old now, the Stephen May Jake Melksham incident. So probably unheard of for a premiership player to insult a player not in the 22, even in jest. I think all the former players like Matty Lloyd, Kane Corns, your favourite. All the other players haven't really come across that. Luke Hodge. So what did you think of it? Do you think it was fair game that he got punched?
Yeah, it sounded a bit out of character from me.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he was like a good bloke. And
I think the drinking in him, like he had an incident with Campbell Brown.
Yeah.
And then he obviously, I think, had some drinks while he was still recovering, I think, the first year.
Speaking of Campbell Brown, I saw him the other day.
Oh, yeah.
He was behind us at the sushi place near our work. So I said his name and he acknowledged it.
Yeah, he seemed like a good time. Yeah, because I hear him on SEN all the time.
He was wearing a t-shirt and shorts and it was like freezing that day. So you can relate.
Yeah, I'm wearing socks and shorts at the moment. So I guess, Steve, mate, he's probably the MVP of the team, even with Gawn, Petrarca and Oliver there. I think Gawn's out for 5 weeks now, I saw on the news today. But so with the drinking, you think he should be banned from drinking in season just because he's had this track record and now is obviously an alcohol-fueled incident as well?
I think it doesn't go too far.
Yeah.
A player of his sort of status.
Yeah.
What he brings to the team, it's not that hard a task, is it, to not drink for 6 months?
Yeah, well, if you got a premiership defence, but maybe not a dynasty, but maybe two or three flags on the line, and I mean, Melbourne's three losses have all come with him either being out or injured during the match as well.
But then, like players, do they play better when they're relaxed and have a bit of freedom? Or,
yeah, it's a good point.
I think, nowadays it sort of comes down to a balance, but you can't definitely be drinking when you're on concussion protocol, so I would not thought.
Point on the players that with him probably should have said, why are you here or why are you drinking? Probably some leadership there. I know Max Collin wasn't there, but it's good because I think Melbourne, the talk was how many games they're going to win in a row, and they've lost three in a row, and Brisbane, Freo, like you said, Carlton, Geelong, St Kilda, Swans. I mean, there's a few teams challenging them at the moment. And Collingwood and Richmond, in form as well.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens, but you're right, the media likes to talk up things and talk down things.
Yeah.
And for sure. What's one thing they've been talking down all week?
good segue. So Jason or Brant, I ask you this question every week. So I'm not going to ask you about how good his goal was or how good his game was. So you worried that he's going to leave?
No, I'm like, where's this coming from? Well,
what was the statement on Footy Classified that there's feelers, or he's putting feelers out there that he might want out?
I didn't hear that. Okay. I don't watch Footy Classified, but I saw the quote was that Corns mentioned noise.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? Does he put a source to it? Is this?
Yeah.
So that's my first issue. Like, this is, it all sounds like hearsay and nothing's actually from him or from his management.
He is playing frustrated. Like, he's obviously been suspended for 2 weeks. 2 weeks?
Of course. Well, what does that tell you when he's frustrated?
Oh, he's competitive.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what we drafted, like a competitive player.
Course,
And when we drafted him, and they would have done their due diligence, and he wanted to come to North. He knew that we're rebuilding.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
that's been the phrase for 2 years, rebuilding. So it's not a secret. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So my confusion is, like, this media, this is definitely, like, media-driven, obviously. He's contracted to end of next year.
Yeah.
And a lot of first-year players put their contracts on hold and sign at the end. So
if you're his manager, I think one Big Brother back in the day, but you'd hold out, wouldn't you? Because If North are rebuilding, you're probably going to get more money to stay at North if you delay talks, you know.
He's getting more money at North than anywhere else, and that's not a problem.
On the back of, 4 weeks in a row, great performance.
Yeah, yeah, and like, not to put Adelaide down, but not many players go back to Adelaide. Like, who goes back? Like, Pollock went back, but he got back out.
Dawson was the other one.
Dawson. That's probably
That's probably the recent one.
Yeah, recent one. But not many players, like, go back to Adelaide.
Yeah.
Like, look at Rankin and Lukosius. They look like staying. Yeah. They look like... Have they re-signed already? Maybe they haven't. Doesn't look like they'll go back to Adelaide. So.
Oh, you wouldn't, too. Gold Coast probably have a brighter future than Port or Adelaide at the moment.
Exactly. And Gold Coast were a basket case only a couple of years ago. So,
yeah.
Things can change pretty quickly. And, the off-field stuff... Oh, the media is just like propaganda. Like, every time there's a negative story, you see a photo of him looking frustrated and stuff. So
would you be worried if Juan Francis was from, WA and Freo were chasing him? Because Freo's, probably got a bright future. Port and Adelaide aren't going to win premiership this year, next year, or probably the year after.
Now, to be honest, I reckon he's pretty loyal. And, they said he gets along with everyone pretty well. And he's got a blue and white mouth guard. So he's pretty embedded, I reckon. And, I don't think it would be in his character. I'd be surprised. Yeah. Like, unless his connection with his family is really strong, maybe. Well, but
some players' families move down.
Yeah.
So maybe that's something, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's in the fight.
Yeah, but I'm not worried. If this was next year, like the final year of his contract and he's signed by halfway through, then be of concern then.
Yeah.
But at this stage, I'm not going to think about trades or like anything like that, I reckon. It's just clickbait to me anyway, like, unless he comes out and says that he wants to go back. Many number one picks go back. Scully went up to the media just want a narrative, and getting David Noble sacked would be up there. Moving us to Tassie, like, it's a bit unfair. This is what happens when you're a low club. Low membership and everything. Buckley, he stood up for France.
Well, he's probably the number one player, and he left Brisbane after a year to play with Collingwood.
Mm-hmm.
So he's probably the test case, really. Yeah. And he pretty much said, back off, the kid, he's 18 years old, like, he doesn't deserve this amount of pressure.
Yeah, and all this talk about body language, what is everyone suddenly a body language expert? Like, he's clearly frustrated. Like, how could you not be? We've lost every game we've played for the last 10 weeks, lost by 10 goals and been out of the game by essentially quarter time.
You don't want him smiling after the match and, making jokes with opposition.
To me, I'd rather him being frustrated than, not showing any emotion.
Yeah.
So, if anything, he's showing more leadership by, actually trying. And I was at the game, and you can see him just hunting for the ball and wanting to do stuff. And sometimes, not running gets highlighted, but people don't look at what he is doing. So
Adelaide Clubs are definitely going to come for him with offers, but like I said last week, it's good for the comp if he does stay.
If they do come with offers, we're not even going to talk about it. Speaking about Adelaide Clubs, we'll talk about Port. We got back on Thursday night, so it feels like a while ago.
Yeah, it's like 5 days ago now. So season on the line, so defeated by 12 points by Richmond. The final chance is probably a pipe dream now. Need to win at least 7 of 10 to get to 12 wins. I don't think even 12 wins would do it this season as well. So it's probably maybe 8 out of 10. Can't fault the effort. So we're down by 26 points in the second quarter and took the lead in the last quarter after a Sam Powell Pepper set shot. The reason why we lost was, just butchered the ball countless times, going inside forward 50 in the first half and last quarter. Amon and Rosie were probably the main culprits that did that a few times each. Shea Bolton's five behinds kept us in the contest. Inside 50s were minus 16. It was a brave or probably stupid selection at the time. Sam Hayes only recognised ruckman was dropped in favour of Finlayson and Dixon rucking.
Yes. So was it the right call? Because one guy on Twitter said he was sick, but not really sure.
I think there was talk of that. He was sick during the week, but it did say omitted, so you got to take it on face value.
Because they normally get that bit right.
I mean, I think the assistant coaches in the press have said, essentially, he's not fit enough because he's getting a lot of backup from Finlayson at times, and he's just around the work around the ground stuff just isn't good enough. So I thought it was the wrong move at the time, but we won the clearances by 9. So you probably say the move paid off. I don't think it's a permanent solution, but a one-off tactic might. It did work on Thursday. So Todd Marshall, he continued his career best season with 3 first-half goals. Did miss an easy set shot in the third, and Gipkus was moved off him for Bolter. So Marshall continues to play well, and Dixon was better again in his second match, game high 4 contested marks. So I'd say he plays more forward in the next few weeks and not ruck.
Yeah, and you thought Burton and Houston played okay?
Yeah, I think it's just a pity with our 5-7 record. I think they'd definitely be in the squad of the all Australian 40-man squad without it, but I don't think they'll get in, just we haven't won enough games. Butters, 14 contested and both 9 clearances with both game highs. Did you see the Butters-Jonas head clash in the fourth?
Yeah, they sort of ran into each other.
Yeah, sickening. I couldn't watch the replay, to be honest. It was a bit, frightening. But love Ken Hinckley defending the 25-year club doctor, Mark Fisher, in the press conference.
Mm-hmm.
Post-match, and the AFL cleared it. So I guess it's 100% justified. Did you think
Should
have got a concussion test, or what's your...
Did they get a test?
They didn't get a test. If they got a test, they would have been out for the rest of the match. It was 20 minutes. There was like 15 minutes left. Okay. So that was the talk, but they both went back on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Butters got opened up again in a tackle
just
with blood, but...
I mean, you trust the doctors and not what the commentators...
Well, that's the clickbait thing you're talking about again.
300 meters away, I think. Yeah, I guess commentators are paid to be entertaining, but I'm not even sure Channel 7 commentators do that.
Yeah, I think everyone bar Hamish McLaughlin... Hamish. Yeah, pretty much said he should have got a test. So I don't think there's an apology forthcoming, but probably should give that to him because he's a doctor and they're not. Rosie, special goal in the fourth, shows his potential as a full-time mid, but just need more of it.
Some down steps and he ran to... 45.
Yeah, I sent you a message at the time too, but just need more of it because, like I said, he butchered the ball going inside forward. But he just needs more consistency. Doesn't need to do that every match, but just needs to play a bit better. And Motlop and Gray had no impact. Maybe Gray's due for a rest because he is playing hurt, according to Tyson Goldsack.
You reckon it's his last year for Gray?
Yeah, I think so. Unless he has a great back end to the season, because he's permanent with this season, that's probably the last step before your way out.
He's just his impact has really diminished.
Yeah, he had a great game against the Saints in Cairns, probably won us the match, but apart from that, it's been down, and I'd hate to see him go worse next season because he's probably the best player in our club history, arguably with Treadray and Wanganeen. So we'll see.
Go out on top sort of thing and see what the young, like Federic and all these guys.
Yeah, exactly. There's still Fantasia there if he gets his body right as well.
Mm-hmm. And it's probably Motlop's last year if it's...
I think so. Yeah, I think he was the last one to get a contract. So, I doubt whether he'll get one next season.
Yeah, and for Richmond, any standouts?
Yeah, Liam Baker. So I thought he was best on ground in his new forward role when he got moved forward, kicked the game-sealing goal. And Judson Clark took 2 goals from his first 2 kicks. Looks like a really good finisher on the left boot, but he did fade out, but I think he's picked 31 or 30 last season.
I think we talked about him in last year's draft, but it's a good debut for him, especially that first quarter.
Yeah, electric start. So move on to your game review. So like you said, Roos went down by 49 points against GWS.
I was at this game, so it was another pretty disappointing result. But thanks for the tickets, by the way.
Again,
could have pretty much sat anywhere in the Medallions Club because it was
empty.
Yeah, but we got 13,500 odds, so I think it was
a long weekend too.
Yeah, a few grand more than what we thought. So David Noble thanked everyone for that. But first half was the first 5 or 6 minutes were really good. I thought attack on the ball, attack on the man wise, a lot of tackles, and we were sort of even. They got like a couple of goals early, but otherwise after that, for the rest of the second half, we were just non-competitive. Did better in the second half and sort of lost the second half by just 2 points, so it was like a bit of a holding mission for the Giants after that. But it was just too easy for the Giants to move the ball. Like, from they had a spare in defense and from the Himmelberg, I think it was Himmelberg, but with the precise kicking were able to just hit up their players on the lead, and it was pretty much uncontested mark and after uncontested mark, switching the ground, spreading the play, and then eventually hitting a player inside forward 50 or getting a free kick or, yeah, or us turning the ball over. So I reckon, yeah, to be to let this happen, it has to be a structural thing, I think.
So coaching?
I think so, yeah, and not really personnel. Like, I mean, yeah, not having Mackay did sort of impact us, but I reckon we could have had any of the great players like Judd Buckley and Goods running around, and it still wouldn't have made a difference.
Okay.
Just because we got smashed in the, I'll read out some stats later, but got smashed in your possessions and everything.
So how was LDU?
Yeah, he was probably our best player, actually. He won 33 touches and kicked a good goal in that last quarter to top off his day. But yeah, he was played inside. I think he had the most contested possessions and really used the ball really well. I reckon
he's leading the BNF.
Oh, easily, yeah, definitely. He's had a really good year. Just building as well. So that's the exciting thing. And he got concussed early in the year against West Coast, but other than that, I think he's shown real improvement. Simkin tried hard. His disposal efficiency and decision making has been a bit down. He was a bit better last Sunday, but he did turn the ball over in a couple of important instances. One, he had an option to go forward. We had players on, could have hand passed it, but he took a few seconds too long, and those options closed up. And then he went inside, and then it just got intercepted, and he went all, forward, and Toby Green got in the end of it. So, things like that. I think move players like that, it's game plan driven.
Yeah.
Like, why would he go? He was like 60 meters out from goal. Could have kept going forward, but he went sideways from the sort of, he was around the wing flank area, inboard, and he got cut off. So, things like that makes me wonder. Players aren't getting instructed to move the ball effectively. Better game from Greenwood, and Curtis Taylor was pretty good as well. Jed Anderson was hard as usual. I think he had the most tackles, and Paul Curtis is showing something, and he looks pretty classy with the ball, and he's trying hard because he was got on the end of a few, even though he missed a goal before the siren, but he did kick one after the three-quarter time break. Nobu said Turner did a good job on Josh Kelly, but not too sure. Josh Kelly had 27 possessions and was pretty good. Hall was okay. First game back, he took those challenging 45-degree kicks.
He can do it, can't he?
So first game back, I thought he was okay. Got a little bit of the ball and that designated kicker off halfback.
Mentioned the stats before, so what are the, I guess, the significant ones?
Yeah, the damning ones are the disposal. So we had 294 to 423. So yeah, that's over almost 130 more possessions, less than the opposition. So just not getting our hands on it. And that's probably a combination of just bombing it in long, not linking up, just turnovers, your whole lot of those two things, really.
Yes, inside 50s too, so I think it was like minus 80 plus to Gold Coast the week before, so it wasn't as bad.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad. hitouts was the other one. Like, we smashed them in the hitouts, but we lost just won the clearances. They were even, so 60 hitouts to 13, and we just win the clearances. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure what's going on there, but it looks like it's breaking down in the middle. Is Goldstein not hitting it down to our players, or are they just sharking it? On the ground, a couple of things I noticed was ball ups. Our players are getting sucked in to where the ball lands, too many players getting drawn to that. Or if the opposition has the ball, two players would go to tackle him, and then it'll spill out.
Yeah.
And then they're
outnumbered.
They'll just get the uncontested ball and link it forward. Happened a couple of times. Cornelio got in the end of a few. So I think just a better communication. Just one person go tackle the player. The other one should be manning space or man on man or something.
Yeah,
and also one other example was, this is the advantage of being at the ground and you can see what's happening. So I think it was Hayden or one of our, or Perez, one of our players got the ball out of the kick in on the half back flank. And he could have kept, and there was one of our players like maybe 15, 20 meters in front with a GWS player in the middle between him. And our player that didn't have the ball needed to either drag the opponent out or like call for, he needed to spread. He needed to like space, ball. So the GWS player had to make a decision to go to the ball carrier or like chase him and give our player the space for him to take ground. But he didn't do any of that. He was just standing in no man's land. And then we had to switch. So, yeah, so I could keep going, but it's probably getting boring. But I wanted to ask you something. So if we fix up something, one of these things, where the ball doesn't get turned over, but we're able to score, it becomes like almost like a 12-point play, a turnaround, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, at the moment, average margin is, what, 50 points?
Yeah.
So that's four of those.
Yeah.
It's back to even, right? So you're in the game again, so... yeah, I think the personnel thing, there's a lot of talk, not just with Horn Francis, but with Noble as well. Yeah, a lot of media are saying that, yeah, they'll be surprised to let him see out the year or even be the coach round one next year. So, yeah, if there's more performances like this, then, yeah, you'd say it's unlikely. But I don't think, personnel, I mean, you are missing a lot of names as well, but I don't think it's just personnel structure, like you said, definitely has something to do with it, like players being confused about what to do.
It can't be personal because last year we had like an exciting list towards the end of the year. Everyone was excited about the Kangaroos. They might win, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 games this year. And for that to become a list with no talent almost overnight, it has to be what's happening with the development. Not so much a recruitment. So it comes down to, like you look at Hawthorn, they're like pretty well drilled and everything, and they've got their young players. Even though they're led by their senior players, they still have their young players contributing. So,
I mean, you mentioned Simkin a few times this season. Like, he's probably low on confidence, but he's, you know, BNF and breakout season last season. So it doesn't just happen overnight. He's a bad player.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. Yeah, I reckon a few more of these 50-plus losses, and it's harder and harder to see Noble there. But if he does go, then I reckon we probably need an experienced coach. And even like Ken Hinckley might be good for the Roos.
Yeah,
like,
I was going to say.
Yeah,
Ken, there's a
few. You like, know, there's a suburb called Kilkenny in...
Kilkenny in Ireland?
In, no, South Australia.
Oh, South Australia, really. No, Kilkenny.
Anyway, yeah, I reckon he's a pretty good development coach. I reckon he would develop like guys like Wines and like Boke.
Yeah, even Wingard too before he, and requested that trade. And
yeah,
you mentioned Cameron last week. Like, there's definitely a few experience. I don't think Clarkson will go, but it's back to North. But yeah, even someone like a Don Pike potentially as well. There's definitely a few names out there.
Yeah, and like Collingwood's coach, Fly McRae. Yeah, no one knew him really, but he's been able to do good things there.
Yeah, with Mason Cox too, so.
All right, cool. We'll move on to the previews. And just the one game to preview this week. Yes, we've got the bye. You guys take on Sydney at Adelaide Oval.
Yeah, so Saturday's an early start, so hopefully there's a crowd turns up. There's been a lot of talk against Ken and people threatening not to turn up to the match, but hopefully it's just empty threats and people continue to support the team. So Sydney are off a bye and Buddy's back too. So I think Drew goes to Parker. Burton goes to him up forward. I think Parker's their best mid probably, and Inform Cloury goes to Buddy straight away.
How's he been on Buddy? Like,
Cloury, he's had... I mean, I think we used to play Carlisle on him, and that was...
Alapate
Carlisle. And that used to be a bit break-even. McKenzie's... Or Buddy nearly won the game last year against McKenzie. So, I don't think Cloury's played on him for a few years, because Buddy's been out injured, so... he's got some big scalps this season, Hawkins and Rewalt and a few others, so hopefully Cleary continues to play well. Heaney's a really difficult matchup, I think, for any team. Maybe Jonas is first up with Burton as a backup, but that might be a matchup we struggle with. Dixon and Marshall versus the McCartan brothers, who, really good size, really good intercept. Just both in form at the moment and leading the way. And Rampy doesn't have to play tall anymore because of that. Georgiadis, I think he's back after four Sandford goals. Just really needed a good performance from him. There's been talk about him in the back line, but I think him and Marshall, the 10-year forward spearhead, so I think we need him back.
I reckon Finlayson could go back if he need.
Yeah, I think Finlayson would be the one that I would switch. I wouldn't move Georgiadis and Marshall. Mm-hmm. I think they're your full forward and centre half forward for the next decade. Like
Georgiadis, he usually makes something happen almost all the time. So.
Yeah, I think he needs to play, especially after he's in form too. Need a ruck. I don't think you can go at Finlayson every week as the ruck, and Dixon is a backup. So I think mid-season recruit Bryn Teagle's in. He kicked three goals in the Sandful, and I don't think Hayes is coming back in this week or anytime soon. So I think Teagle's the one. Interesting to see how Latham's goes against us, because we pretty much shipped him out because of attitude and commitment problems. And I think we tried 2 years in a row to get him out potentially. But Hayes just needs to work on his fitness before he comes back into the team.
Mm-hmm. And Desma in for DeMont, you reckon? And Amid, a chance. He's debuted, right?
He's debuted this season. So I think they'll probably go with Meade just because he was BOG in a Sandful win. Dersma, he wasn't in the best players, so I think he probably just needs to come into the team in form, like, you know, Teagle and Georgiadis. So I think it's only Fantasia and Lysett missing from the best 22 now. So it's a big match, but I think my head says Sydney, but obviously the heart says Port. But yeah, it's definitely, if this is not a high school, we've probably got 8 or 9 elimination finals to go in the season.
Yeah, I mean, you guys, this is 50-50, really, I reckon.
Three games out plus, not percentage, 3 games out from Collingwood. So with how many games left? 10. And Collingwood have 9. So, it's going to be a struggle.
Yeah. I reckon it'll be a close game. It's at home, so that might just tip it in your favour. Because I think Sydney's been okay, but, I mean,
they have down patches, I think, too often for maybe a premiership contender, but finals with 10. They're definitely a finals team.
Yeah, young team, you'd expect that, but they won their last two, but I don't think their last one was that convincing. Really. I can't remember who it was against, but Desmond's brother is going to be a high draft pick next year.
Is he?
Yeah, he's doing pretty well.
Top next 10 year, or?
Might be picking one contention. Actually.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He's doing really well as a 16-year-old in the NAB League.
That Melbourne team doesn't get even pull Xavier Desmond back with them, with the brother.
On to the tipping, and looks like I've increased my lead by a couple.
Yeah, so you're up by 3 now, so I'm third in the comp, and you're not runaway first, but you're the clear number one. So the round kicks off Richmond versus Carlton and MCG on Thursday night.
Yes, so the Tigers, I think both teams are pretty much in form, so it's going to be a pretty good game. Not a big crowd, maybe like 50,000 on Thursday. I don't know, it's a hard one. I reckon Carlton might just do the double here and win. Just their confidence. Mackay's back as well,
so. Yeah, Mackay's been back. I think I'm the opposite, so I'm going Tigers to win. I think Tom Lynch is returning, and I think he'll monster them without Wietering, who's still out.
Yeah, I mean, they got the job done against you guys, but I think you guys did challenge them, but I think Carlton just
They're definitely more informed.
A little bit above,
And Friday night, St Kilda versus Essendon at Marvel's, another Friday night Essendon. I've got the Saints. If the Don's 150-year celebration can't spark a turnaround, probably nothing will anytime soon.
Yeah, not too sure what's up with the fixture with Essendon getting these Friday night games.
Last Friday, I can understand with the celebration, but they're 16th and the Saints are 6th. So.
Well, Saints are really exciting to watch.
Yeah.
A couple of St Kilda players are going to be down at Masala on Saturday.
Okay.
I read.
You know which ones?
No, we don't. No.
Surprise.
Danny Longway. Maybe like a Josh Battle or something. But speaking of Battle, he's been pretty good for them this year.
Yeah.
They've had a whole list of good players, so. You think if they can shut down Peter Wright, Howard might go to him.
Yeah.
They don't really, Essendon the haven't goals. Got really more. Yeah, avenues for gold, unless Stringer pulls one out.
Yeah, disappointing return on the weekend. And your Port hosting Sydney and Adelaide. I've got Port as always.
Yeah, that's why you're going to lose the tipping, I reckon. Yeah, actually, for this one, I think I'll go for Port too, I reckon.
Ah.
You can catch the Swans here.
West Coast versus Geelong at Optus. I've got the Cats, but hopefully it's not another 100-point home loss, because, yeah, you just don't like to see that. You want to see close games.
Yeah, this is probably going to be anything but a close game. So, yeah, you'd think Geelong just to...
Off the bye too, and they do have a poor record, but I don't think that'll make much difference. Nah,
it's pretty hard to tip Roos and West Coast for the rest of the year, I reckon. So, Adam Simpson said they're not going to try tank.
They're not going to tank?
They're not going
to
tank.
Do they need to tank?
I don't think so.
Well, they're already last.
Yeah, that's a funny
They're not
going to...
You'd probably
they're not,
say...
They're not going to finish above, like, Essendon.
No, I think Essendon might win a few more games. So, they're either bottom or second bottom. Yeah, so is there a big difference between number one and number two?
Probably not, no. Okay. It's not like... Yeah, last few years.
I think number one's probably Ashcroft, right? Who's going to Brisbane?
Yeah, there's a couple. There's another George Wardlaw, another Oakley Chargers boy. So, no, we might do a little wrap of the top. I want Harry Sheezel.
Yeah, the one you mentioned last week.
Guy.
GWS versus the Bulldogs at Giants Stadium. I've got a GWS upset. There's no Bailey Smith. Himmelberg moves back, probably in a bit of a masterstroke for McVay, because he was really struggling up forward. I think he dominated against the Roos as well.
Yeah, with like Davis and Haynes and these sort of guys.
Sam Taylor.
Yeah. Pushed out. Oh, well, Sam Taylor's playing, but the other two are a little bit older.
Yeah.
So Himmelberg might be perfect type of player. But 37 touches or something. Something crazy against us. And he's got a good... He played juniors apparently in defense, so it helped. But I reckon... that's a tough one, actually.
So we're one different at this stage. I think just the Richmond Carlton match were different.
Yeah. I reckon... Doggies are hard to tip as well. I'll probably go the Bulldogs for this. I reckon they're going to hold on and get the win.
So two different. You'll either go up by five or...
No, we can break you.
One.
No.
We'll see. And then Sunday, Gold Coast versus Adelaide at Metricon. I've got Gold Coast. Just think they'll be too strong. And yeah, that forward duo Rankin is just dominating at the moment.
Yeah, Gold Coast as well. It'll be good to see them make the finals, I reckon. We'll have a couple of teams. Yeah.
Everyone's second favourite team.
Yeah.
Gold Coast.
Oh, everyone wanted them out of the competition, though.
Media.
Yeah. They wanted them relocated, but think how things change, huh? Priority picks.
That's not a hidden message. I don't know what it is. And we got Brisbane, Collingwood, North Melbourne, Hawthorn, Frio, and Melbourne in the bye. And I think back next week, we're back to 9 games around.
Yeah. And North Melbourne, try to get a few players back from injury. I know Zeebel went on to the injury list.
Yeah.
But guys like Zerha and Bonner might come back, Mackay back. So the list of 12 or 13, I think it might get reduced to about 5 or 6. And debut of Dawson might be exciting as well. So.
Yeah, mid-season recruit.
Big second half of the year.
So we'll see. Hopefully more positive results from our teams in the weeks to come. So we'll catch you guys next week.
See ya.